AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello all, welcome to Up the Poshcast, the Poshcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Good evening, Posh fans. We're recording a new episode of Up the Poshcast, not after a Peterborough United win, as we all hoped for, but equally not after a Peterborough United defeat either. We've managed to get a draw out of Stevenage away, 1-1. Tonight, I'm joined by Ash, Lods, and John, myself, Harry. And Lods, I'll send it to you first. What did you make of the draw today?
Yeah, in terms of the performance, I don't think it was a very good performance, but I wouldn't necessarily say it was a bad performance either. It was an okay performance, especially given where we are in the table at the moment. We wouldn't have looked out of place as a mid-table side today. I think it was a very mid-table clash, and that's obviously better than what we've been dishing up recently. Obviously, there was a lot of negatives, which I'm sure we'll come on to, but I do want to focus on the positives. I thought Fergie playing the four at the back was something we were crying out for last week. I don't know if his hand was forced because of Manny's suspension, but it's clear to see, given how little chances we conceded, that the five at the back isn't necessary. I think defensively, we're just exactly the same playing four at the back. Their goal was pretty much from nothing. It was just a lucky shot from outside the area, really. And apart from their offside goal, I don't really remember much else that they created. And then the other positive thing that I wanted to speak about, which I don't think Fergie agrees with based on his post-match interview, is that I thought the players were taking a lot more risks going forward, especially compared to the last couple of away games at least. There was a couple of players that probably should have done a bit better in the first half, but in the second half, I think everyone really gave it a go. Everyone was looking up. Everyone was trying to play the ball forward. And there was times where the players were trying to take on their man, and it doesn't always pay off when that happens, but I think if you compare the way we play this season to last season, we have to take these risks. We have to have these players trying to take on a man, trying these risky balls, because we're not going to score unless we make those risks. The negatives for me, the main one was the presence of the midfield when we were in possession. It felt like the defence had the ball and didn't really have much of an outlet, especially in the first half. We were pumping the ball long when the midfielders could have just dropped in and received it and turned and played the pass. That's their job at the end of the day. But yeah, all in all, I mean, we didn't win. We should have won, or we at least definitely could have won. But in terms of performance, I'm relatively happy with it.
It's incredible how different circumstances can be in between two seasons, where we've come away from Stevenage 2 years in a row with draws that we think that was there for the taking. But the difference now between this year and last year, just unbelievable how much more stress it is to have come away with a draw there when it was just so there for the taking. Stevenage were dire. They so many misplaced passes, and I think we were comfortably better than them down both wings. And it's such a shame that we just didn't show enough viciousness on the edge of the box to stop that shot going in. Both Archie and Kipriano kind of let it walk past themselves. I can't see them getting skinned, either of them, if they jumped in a bit. But look, I agree with you, Loz, that there was plenty of positives there and there were more risks taken. The 4-2-4, I hope, is here to stay. Look, it is clearly the best system for us. Most teams in this league are more like Stevenage than they are like Birmingham. And of the games we've got left, there are some tough ones in there where maybe we'll want to change and be a bit more defensive. But I really do think we should be sticking with this 4-2-4, which is, by the way, the preview that we had before this game, both Ash and I were screaming out for.
Yeah, and I think that what today clearly showed is that if we are going to avoid relegation, it's not going to be by trying to defend, is it? So, as Peterborough United always said, our best form of defence is to attack the living daylights out of teams. And I'm not going to say that Stevenage were probably absolutely petrified of us today, but I think that they know that they were probably less deserving of the point than we were today, which is slightly disappointing because I think that although we were better attacking, I think that players were maybe afraid to make the mistakes that come with trying to play attacking football. That was a disappointing thing for me. Don't get me wrong, there was definitely some better performances in an attacking sense today on the pitch. I thought that Otto, up until he was running through and should have maybe played Mothersill and slightly overhit his pass to Ricky J. Jones, was probably one of our better players on the pitch, which is a really good breath of fresh air because, you know, it's been week after week where we've just been absolutely hammering the lad. So it was nice to see him put in, even though maybe it was probably just a bang average performance, it was nice to see that it wasn't an absolute gutter performance. And all in all, it was just one of those boring games, to be honest with you. Like, again, go back to Wigan, like, go back to Exeter, those sorts of results. Like, one alls aren't Peterborough United. Like, Harry mentioned, obviously, two draws in a row away from Stevenage. We went to Stevenage last year, and that 2-2 was exciting. It was right until the end, and like you always felt like we've discussed before, that jeopardy that comes with Peterborough United. I didn't really feel like we were going to lose once we'd gone to 1-1, and they didn't really pressure us, and it sort of felt like we shored ourselves up once we were higher up the pitch. And ultimately, that's naturally what's going to happen, isn't it? The more attacking players you've got, the further back you can push the opposition team. It's just a shame that I was disappointed with the sub of Archie Collins. I would have personally kept him on because he is that ball dictator. I think that Susoho is probably more of a natural replacement for Kyprianou. And for somebody that wants to allegedly drag us out of this relegation scrap, well, crikey, his performance certainly isn't showing that, is it?
Yeah, I might as well start on Kyprianou. I don't know if I've ever seen a player decline quite as quickly as Hector Kyprianou. Last season, he was obviously outstanding, genuinely one of our best players over the course of the season. This year, he just looks a shadow of his former self. And I thought he was really poor again today. He looks so ponderous and so slow to the ball, like second balls. He was just never there. That caused one of his bookings. And there was a moment, literally in the 93rd minute, where he was played through towards the touchline, and you thought, oh, whip the ball in, here's the last chance. And he sort of, it did look like he was sprinting after it, but he just looked so slow, tried a Cruyff turn, fell over, and the defender just cleared it, and the ref blew the whistle, and it just about encapsulated Kyprianou's performance. I thought he was very lucky to stay on for 90 minutes. Like Ash said, I found the substitution of Collins rather strange. I think the goal is mainly on Kyprianou. He needs to get out and close quicker. And Teo Eden, in the highlights I've seen, just goes mad at him. So, yeah, he's got to pick up his game because there clearly is a player in Kyprianou. Unlike some of these players where we say they're just not good enough, Kyprianou has proven over 12 months that he was good enough for League One. But whether it's the fact he missed pre-season, I don't know, but it shouldn't really be an excuse now we're in, what, middle of Feb, that you still look so behind the pace. It's really strange. I can't really work out why his form has dipped so badly. In general, I thought the performance was a bit of a waste until we went 1-0 down, and then we started showing some attacking impetus, which is exactly what we've been asking for. And then I thought we pretty much dominated the game. The only thing I would say was, which was quite disappointing really for me anyway, and it probably shows where we are as a team in terms of confidence levels, but that game looked like it was there for the taking. And all the fans sort of were urging the team on after we equalised. You could feel it. Everyone there sort of felt, okay, this is a chance for 3 points. And yet the players on the pitch seemed to be settling for a draw. They were slow and ponderous over throw-ins and set pieces. And there was no real urgency to get the ball back in play. There was no real, okay, let's go and win this now. It almost felt like we were more scared of losing the game than wanted to win it. And that really kind of disappointed me, because like you say, Ash, it's just not the Peterborough United mentality. And I know they're in a bit of a rut. I know it's difficult at the minute, but we're not going to have that many more chances to win games this season. Like, when the chances are we go to Huddersfield next week, and I don't know if any of us can realistically say we're going to get 3 points there. And we're running out of games rapidly, and teams are catching us up. And it just feels like a complete missed opportunity to me. So although I think the last 30 minutes was positive and probably one of our better league performances of late, it wasn't sparkling, but it was at least front-footed and attacking. It really, I come away feeling a little bit deflated, really, because it just doesn't, it felt like, okay, go and win the game then. And we never really did that.
Yeah, you touched on Kyprianou at the beginning there. I think one thing, and this is in combination with a couple of other players, that still is a problem, which we brought up before. I will get on to some positives, but that first half, Sam Hughes clearly had to pass it out the back. Because we were consistently doing the round-the-back passing. And to be fair, there was a lot less of players being isolated. We were probably a bit quicker with it on the whole. But Hughes never had Kyprianou available to him, because Kyprianou was just standing there, literally just with Mark next to him, a man just there. Every single opportunity he could have possibly passed out to him, there was no impetus to move from Kyprianou. There was a bit more of it in the second half, a bit, but it always had to go to Tyo. And often, look, Tyo did his best with some, a little bit loose passes from Hughes. Not really what we should be expecting of him. He's there to defend. He's not there to build out play. And it, knowing that he's not an absolutely elite passer, why aren't you at least giving him two options? Like, as a midfielder, as a captain as well, like, why aren't you at least making yourself a bit more available? Even if it means that when you receive it, you've got to pass it back to Jed. Just give your defender a chance. Could have been a lot worse on a different day. I'd say that Con Clark is one where he just so struggled to get into the game. I don't doubt his effort levels. There was a lot of effort ball today. Ash, you mentioned Otto earlier, right? He, no doubt about it, tried constantly. I was actually really impressed with the first half, where the ball got lost and he was one who actually recovered it. You know, how often do we see tackles from our own wingers? It's pretty rare. And Otto was at least sticking himself in the way. Back when we signed him, you remember McAntony saying he's got a great attitude. Maybe that's going to need to drive him forward for the rest of the season. Make up for, unfortunately, just a bit of lack of quality in some other areas. A final player for me is just CJ. It was good to see from him in the second half, him really coming to his own a bit, I thought, in the transitions and the recoveries. When we tried something, it didn't quite work. He actually came in so much more narrow. He actually became another midfielder, which is precisely quite often what you need to do. It takes away the easiest pass through the centre for their midfielders. They've got to try and spray it wide to the area he's vacated. And they couldn't do that. He got a couple of interceptions, or if it wasn't an interception from him, he was there available as the first man to pass to. I thought that was a big step forward for him today offensively. He was still good defensively, as he usually is. Charlton was a tough game for him, but look, defensively, we know he's got it. Offensively, a bit more from him.
Yeah, I think Con Clark's an interesting one, because I think it still just feels like we're, what, 6 months into the season now, and it still feels like we're waiting for him to explode. I hope that we get that. I really do. Harry, you obviously mentioned before, it may have been when we were at the game, that you were surprised not to see him on a pitch the size of Charlton's. And then, like, polar opposite, we see him on probably one of the smallest pitches in League One, where he's not going to be able to create that space for himself. I just don't want people to be left behind. And like we say, I was impressed with Otto. It's such a shame that last moment, that lasting moment of the game, was his poor decision. Like, if that happens in the fifth minute, let's say, and then he goes on and plays the game how he did, then nobody remembers it. And we draw the game and everybody says, yeah, that was actually a really good Abraham Otto performance. But somebody like Con Clark, it was kind of like you knew when Fergie was making subs that he was going to be the one that was taken off, which as this flair player, I guess, what you would say, like a luxury player in a system like that, is that it's disappointing that he hasn't shown so far and still is sort of running out of games. And like to sort of refer back to where we are in the league, it just does consistently feel like we're running out of time and running out of games to for the whole team to explode, not just Chris Con Clark.
Yeah, I'm struggling a little bit with Chris Con Clark. I've got to be honest, because he's one of these players where we've obviously watched him a fair bit now, and I'm still not really sure what he's good at. You kind of watch him, and at least with, and look, I'm certainly no Joel Randle fan, but you knew with Joel Randle what he was good at. He was good at picking up pockets between the midfield and the attack, and he was good at linking the play. With Con Clark, he doesn't really feel like that link player like Randle, but he doesn't feel like a runner beyond like a Smodix. He doesn't feel like a trickster like a Dembele or a Tomlin. He doesn't really seem to excel in any area at the minute. And there's too many games where you sort of watch him and he's just on the periphery of it. You don't really notice him getting that involved. And it's got to the stage now where obviously we're talking about going to 4-2-4, right? And I think one of the biggest problems is that the number 10 is just so ineffective, because it does look better when we have two wide players and Malik and Ricky running up front. And I don't think Ricky J. Jones was great today, by the way, at all. I thought he was pretty poor. Again, I'm not seeing the same effort from Ricky as before, which is bizarre, really. When you watch him, he doesn't make the runs. And you're like, that's your main strength. When you're not in there to be a link man, you're not in there for your technical ability. You're in there because you're very fast and you're physical. And yet, it's like he's on the back foot when we get the ball, rather than making the run to make somebody else's pass for him. He wants the pass for him before he makes the run. And it's frustrating to watch, because you kind of feel, yeah, another player that started this season really well and has just dropped off since about December. I don't know if that's with an eye on a move or whatever, but he's got to start putting in more effort, because if you're not running Ricky, you're not offering us really anything. I think the biggest positive to come out today, really, though, and I do want to focus on a positive, is Kieran Hayes. Again, whenever he gets an opportunity on that right flank, he looks good. I'm not saying he's our saviour. I'm not saying he's one of Peterborough United's elite wingers. I'm certainly not saying any of that. But what I would say is he's the one that you gets the ball and he just drives it at players. He's just so willing, isn't he? He works hard. He puts himself about. He does everything you kind of want from a team scrapping for their lives. And yeah, he does need a little bit of refining. But how many other wingers, like Oddo played okay today. He wasn't sparkling, but for Oddo, that was a decent enough performance. But he is never going to do what Hayes did, where he sort of shifted it out of his feet, got round the defender and just blasted it. And you kind of just want a bit of that at the minute, just a bit of individual spark to lift the team. And his introduction certainly lifted the team. And I do think Ferguson's management of him has been pretty weird, because he was in really good form on that right flank. He's been shifted around. He's played at fullback. He's played on the bench. He's now not really starting many games. Surely there has to come a time when Fergie looks at him and thinks he's the starting option. I think he should be our starting option probably until the end of the season, and or at least certainly until Poku comes back. But I do think there's an option that you keep Hayes and Poku in the same team by playing either of them at number 10 at the minute. So I do want to see him get a run of starts, and I don't really know what more he can do to get that run, because I certainly feel he deserves it.
Yeah, funny you say that, John. I was thinking the exact same thing. When Poku comes back in, I'd really want Hayes to keep his spot in the team on the right wing and have Poku in the 10. With the Hayes not starting thing, I agree. It's just really, really weird. It's one of them ones. Every now and then you get everyone in unison, and I haven't seen a single Posh fan that agreed that Oddo should have started today. Every single Posh fan was confused why Hayes wasn't starting. And then we bring him off the bench. And of course, there's nothing to say that he could have done that if he did start. But he's proved the thing what he can do. And it was very Poku-esque, I thought. The beginning of the season where we were praising Poku's performances, there were little moments, weren't there, that Poku did to get us out of the rut. And that was very much what Poku probably would have done in that position. So that's a really, really positive thing about Kieran Hayes there. And yeah, I agree. I don't think we should drop him out of the team because he is actually one of the ones that I think has always tried to look up, run at players. That hasn't stopped at any point this season. There's been a lot of games where he's been absolutely manhandled and physically he's obviously not up to it. But it hasn't stopped him. He's always gone for it. He's gets kicked about. He's off the pitch. He's being wrestled. But he just gets back up and he tries it again. And I think that's definitely something we should be playing on, especially when you compare to maybe some of the other wingers in the team that perhaps aren't as ballsy as that, especially with Odo. Bristol Rovers the other week, where every time he got the ball, he turned around and he tried to play a safe pass option. You never get that with Hayes. And I think that's the sort of performance that we need to start getting us some more wins on the table.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And whilst, let's say, that the other 10 or 11 players that were involved in the game today looked relatively scared and petrified to attack, but not actually, it was more the conceding. It felt like Hayes is probably the only one that's fearless in the team at the moment and in the squad. He's comfortable making errors or mistakes as long as he knows that he's trying to do his job, which is progressing the team forwards. And he certainly lifted the team up and on, and it was ultimately a positive end of the game with Kieran Hayes on the pitch. My only other concern is I looked at that bench today, so uninspiring. It really is concerning that I understand that we've got injuries, we've got like players like Katongo, players like Gustav, players like Brad that are out injured at the moment, but where's the get up and go on the bench? It doesn't really feel like it. Hayes was obviously a natural option. We know that Sissoko's a fantastic footballer, but let's say that we did go 2-1 down and we needed to change the game again. We've got Dornelli, Nevitt, Donny O'Brien Brady and Ryan de Havilland, and I don't have any confidence in those four to come on and change the game in a positive way. It's concerning how threadbare we are at the moment, and it's like we're one disaster away from just sort of succumbing to our defeat and a relegation, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point about the bench there, Ashley. And I do have a degree of sympathy with the club at the minute because obviously we are two strikers down and Poku down. But I think not having an impact sub has been an issue for us for quite a long time now. I know we had Clark Harris last season, but beyond him, it was Ajiboy coming off the bench when we were trying to get automatic promotion for a lot of the season. And you think back to when Posh were very good and competing for promotions a lot, we normally had that player that could come off the bench and you felt like, okay, that's your sub. We're behind. We need to bring him on. Whether that be a Sean Bat, whether that be a Mendes Lang, you know the sort of enigmatic presence that would come off the bench. And it's very hard to recruit bench warmers or subs that are, because who wants to come and sit on the bench? But I do think it's testament to how poor the depth of the squads have been for a while now. That when is the last time that you felt, oh, here's a really good impact sub? And I do wonder if that plays into Fergie's thinking a bit with not starting Hayes, because he did say in his press conference afterwards that he considers Hayes to be a good sub. And I do partly wonder if the reason he's not starting, and I don't agree with this, but I do wonder if it's because Hayes is a good sub. And if you put Hayes in the lineup, who then do you bring on? If you go behind, who is changing the game? Who has he got? You're not going to bring on Odo to change a game. You're not going to bring on de Havilland to change a game. You're not going to bring on Donny O'Brien Brady to change a game. So I do slightly wonder if that is the reason Fergie's been so reticent to start him, because nothing else seems to make sense in my head, really.
I feel like I can give you a bit of an answer on what you've just posed, John, about who wants to be a bench warmer. A normal squad would have experienced players. and they'd have young players. So your young players would offer relief and be able to come on the pitch and start getting some experience in the Football League. But for us, that is literally every person, every single player, you know, except for with the odd exception, right? I think that this is one of the drawbacks of the policy, which we can't pretend it wasn't very successful last year, right? It does absolutely have its benefits, and there's huge sell-on value to players when they perform well, even if they are young. But you're right. This is one of the pitfalls of having a young squad, is that your relief for your starting player, who themselves is young, is another young player. I mean, made no more obvious than the right back position until January with Curtis or Dornelli, both of which needed really mentorship to have someone to learn under at this stage of both of their careers. Yeah, it's an interesting point. I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, and I know that we sort of have discussed transfers before, but it does really now feel like this season we are properly chasing our tails, and that everything that we've built up over four or five seasons has just completely left us. Obviously, we know that the departures in the summer were big players, important players, really good players. I don't want to blame the recruits, but it's that progression that I go back to, is that it finally feels like now, yes, the injuries have been absolutely horrid, but it does just feel like we're short. And I don't really know how we can be at this alleged salary cap and still feel so short compared to everybody else. Like, you look at Bristol Rovers, for example. How many players did they bring in on deadline day? Now, I know that we brought in Johnston, Hughes and Teo Dunn at the start of January, but I'm sure that Bristol Rovers were bringing in players as well. So how, when we're in such a battle, can we be so short of manpower and positive manpower as well? It's really frustrating at the moment.
Yeah, Ashley, earlier on when you were naming players that we had on our bench, there is one person you forgot, and that is Nicholas Bilakapic, who I'm pretty sure if we put that big Aussie up front, he could have changed the game. All jokes aside, I do want all three of your opinions on the goalkeepers, because Fergie said in his post-match that he thought Jed was excellent. I don't think he was excellent. He made a very good one-on-one save. I actually think the goal was his fault. I think he had a clear enough view of the shot. I think the body shape of the player that scored it indicated that he was going to be shooting to Jed's left. Jed could have sorted his feet out on that basis before the shot went past. I think Hughes was the furthest back, but for whatever reason, he's waited to see the ball come past Hughes, and obviously it was placed right in the corner. I think he was banking on it not going right in the corner, and maybe just trying to anticipate some sort of deflection. But I think as a goalkeeper, you should just be getting your feet sorted out. It's all about probability, isn't it? I think the most likely scenario there was he was curling it around the player, which is obviously what he did. Jed, for whatever reason, wasn't expecting it. The things that Fergie did say about Jed's performance was his distribution, which admittedly was a lot better. There was one ball in particular to Malik that was excellent. But I've seen Bilo play those balls, and I've seen both goalkeepers also kick the ball out for a throw-in. I think where I'm at with the goalkeepers, I think bringing Jed back in was the right thing to do. I think we look a lot more confident from building from the back, which isn't something that Bilo obviously is the strongest at. I think his communication seems to be a bit better. I have noticed that he's positioning himself where the defenders have got an easy pass on, which I don't think Bilo did a lot. And he is asking for the ball. I think Bilo probably shies away from receiving the ball. He's just there as a last resort, whereas Jed offers that passing option. But admittedly, I think both goalkeepers are probably below the standard. I wouldn't mind us signing a new one in the summer. Obviously, Project Bilo, and I like Bilo. He has potential. We could probably profit on him in the future. But if we want to reset in the summer and properly go for it next season, I think Bilo will be a weak link if we decide to keep him as our number one.
I don't know where to land on this. I know that my heart is with Bilo. My head is probably with Steer for now, which I'll say why. When you're in a relegation scrap like this, I think that Jed is less likely to be phased than Bielo in certain match situations. You have just raised the ball coming back to his feet. I think Bielo's got way better over the course of the season, personally. Now, with that being said, as we get closer and closer to the relegation zone, and if Crawley win their game in hand, we are literally on par with the relegation zone. I see it as being a safer, given the way we play, a safer pair of hands in goal, or at least a safer pair of feet in goal. It seems a weird thing to say about a goalkeeper, but it's true with us, the amount we play around the back, that Jed is the better one for that. God, I hate to... maybe this is harsh. I think Bielo saves that goal today, though, right? That's the thing. He is a cat. Neither is a perfect solution. I'm leaning Jed just because of where we are on the table. But in any other situation, I would be going Bielo. Again, also in line with the policy, right? An opportunity to develop somebody we could sell on for a lot more later.
Yeah, I think you're right. And look, criticism of both goalkeepers is more than warranted across the season and across the course of the season. I think that Jed definitely showed his pros today. We could hear him down the far end. Being very vocal, which was maybe something that I criticised midweek, that he wasn't vocal enough. But yeah, like you say, we'll never know, will we, whether Bielo would have saved that. But I think that Jed ultimately was too slow to react today. We've seen the footage. We think that I initially thought that he maybe was unsighted, but then when you look at it and you reflect back on it, it was obvious where the shot was going to go. And when the player hits the shot, he's not even on the right side of the goal. And then it's sort of like he doesn't dive until the ball's basically past him. So it's frustrating, isn't it? And it's so frustrating for both goalkeepers that neither of them have managed to nail down the position. Like it feels like at any given moment, Fergie could change his mind and switch the player. But as I've said before, like Harry just mentioned, we should be developing the players that are going to make us the most money. I don't think that Jed Steer is the player that's going to make us the most money, unfortunately. I'm hoping that he has the experience and the know-how to somehow forge us and save us. Like he has made some good saves, but yeah, today was a disappointing one, that's for sure.
So I'm going to agree with largely a lot of what you said. One thing I would disagree with, Ash, is about playing the player that's going to make us the most money. Honestly, at this stage of the season and where we are, I don't think that can come into our thinking. I think we need what is right for the here and now to keep us up, because if we go down to League Two, you know, it doesn't really matter how much money we're going to make. It's going to cost the club a fortune anyway. I won't labour the point. I think I gave Jed a 5 for my player ratings today immediately after the match. And now I've seen the replay, I don't think it was as bad an error as I thought from the stadium. It looked like he got down really slowly in the ground. I think it would have been a very good save. And I think if you take that in isolation, I think Bilakapic is the more likely one to save that shot for sure. But there's a lot of weaknesses in Bilakapic's game that Jed doesn't have. I think Jed is comfortably better ball at feet, which I think is important. I think the defence trusts Jed Steer more, which again, I think is important. Just visually, they seem to be more assured with him behind them than they are with Bilakapic. And there's always a clanger in Bilakapic. He can have those heroic displays. For instance, Bolton. Jed Steer is never going to put in the performance that Bilakapic did at Bolton. But Jed Steer is also never going to put in the performance that Bilakapic did at Wickham last season. He's very much a 6 out of 10. I don't think he's going to make many howlers. He's not going to make many blinders. And I think fundamentally, Lods, you're right. I don't think either of them are good enough. I just personally have more faith in Jed Steer at the minute.
Yeah, do you know what? I think that the issue is you're right. Bielo does have that absolute stinker in him. The problem with Jed Steer is that Jed Steer's stinkers aren't memorable because it's just the ball going in the back of the net where he just can't get himself to it. And because it's like, oh, we've conceded another goal this season, that's the issue, is that Jed Steer's goals, and today could be the perfect example, if Bielo saves that, fantastic. if Jed Steer lets it in, nobody's going to remember the goal that we conceded to Stevenage. But when Bilo kicks the ball against the player for Walsall and it goes into the back of the net, everybody remembers that. And it all just comes down to that clippable content, is that Bilo makes himself so clippable and so viral. But Jed's clangers are just literally the ball going into the back of the net. And don't get me wrong, he made a good save early on in the game, and he closed down one of their players really well and made a good save one-on-one. So, yes, we're fortunate for that. And like Lods mentioned, he made a good kick. But that's what we're talking, three things in the game. Like, he wasn't, like, outstanding. And anybody thinks that that was an outstanding goalkeeping performance, that's slightly concerning for me. Bilo may have made a mistake for somewhere else in the game, but it's one of those things that, unfortunately, with goalkeepers, we will never know because there's only one of them on the pitch.
All right. Let's see how it progresses as we move on to our next game, likely to be steering goal for Huddersfield Town away, this time next week, Saturday, the, I think, 22nd of February, isn't it? We go up to Yorkshire. It's a team that are kind of interesting because they have beaten Wickham away recently, but also lost to Northampton recently. A team that is in the playoffs, but are one loss away from being ninth in the table. We were obviously beaten by them on the opening day of the season, 2-0. I'll go to Lods first for this.
Yeah, I don't think this is a game that we're expecting to win, which probably goes in our favour, right? Because it means that the pressure's off of us. I would like to see some more of that attack and intent that we spoke about earlier. The same lineup, the same defenders, the same goalkeeper. Hayes over Odo. And I'm not a big fan of what Chris Conn-Clarke's been doing recently. I actually think Chris Conn-Clarke might be half of the issue that the midfielders had today, where Randall perhaps would drop back a little bit and offer a third man in that midfield. I think Chris Conn-Clarke likes to go wandering, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. We talk about, like, the Mavericks in the team. He's one of their Mavericks, isn't he? That you're expecting him to create something, and I think he likes to drift into the wide areas to do that. But at the moment, I think we need to go back to basics and go back to the thing that we've been training on. And I'm not sure which one of those midfield three in Sissoko, Collins and Kiprianu can play the most advanced. By the sounds of it, I didn't watch the Charlton game, but Sissoko was quite advanced. Whether or not we try that again, I'm not sure. But ultimately, I don't really fancy having Chris Conn-Clarke playing. I think he probably will start. But I think this is essentially a free hit where we can try and prove that the players are good enough to compete with these teams. I don't think they are. I can't see us getting a result, but at least try, a bit like how we did at Birmingham away, I guess. We knew that they were better than us, but I think we went toe-to-toe with them for a lot of the game. And if we can perform similar against Huddersfield, I think I'll be quite happy.
I am concerned we could be on the end of another drubbing, if I'm quite honest with you. I think Huddersfield pretty much scored us on the opening day of the season, and we were a better team on the opening day of the season, sadly, than we are now, or at least that's how it seems. I think my issue really is I would like to make changes again. I would quite like to drop Hector Kiprianu, but do I trust Mohamedou Sissoko? I don't know that I do at the minute, if I'm honest. He's looked okay in fits and starts, what we've seen of him, but I just don't know about him. I want to go to the 4-2-4. I would quite like to drop Ricky, but what else have we got at the minute up front? Unless Brad's back. And then if I go to the 4-2-4 and bring Hayes in, like, where Conn-Clarke has to play at the minute up front. So unless you go with Odo, and I'm not about to start advocating Odo starting after all I've said about him. Even though he was okay today, I don't think he's a starter for Peterborough United in any game. I just don't think he's good enough. So there's just so many issues with the squad when I go through my lineup that I'm like, I don't even know what we can play here in defence of Fergie, weirdly, because obviously I said, you know, I'm becoming Fergie out. I don't see a way of playing any system or lineup that I think, okay, that's our strongest team at the minute. I think there are multiple players, like I say, that I would take out the team. Kipriano, Ricky J. Jones, Oscar Valin. But by doing that in every single position, you just create another problem. So there's just no solutions. And yeah, I go into the game extremely concerned. I know Fergie said today, let's hope that they can play with more confidence after a draw. I really, really fear that this could be one which just shatters their confidence again, because Huddersfield are a good team. I know they're not in particularly great form, but they are a good team. They press really high. I just, yeah, I'm not looking forward to it.
I think with Huddersfield, I'm not going to pretend I've watched much Huddersfield, but we know about some of their players just because they've got such unbelievable experience in the EFL, whether it's Deion Charles or Josh Kroma, Herbie Kane. They are going to be a team that are very experienced. And I do think that even if we score, which I think there's a chance that we will, that they are going to have the skill set to probably get on top of a team that is pretty young like ours. I was just looking at recent lineups for them. I don't know if it's an injury thing or if just one of their centre-backs has come through recently, but they're playing a Dutch centre-back who's only made three appearances for them all season. At least they did today against Barnsley. And then they've got a 34-year-old as his partner. Is it Tom Lees? So, you know, I think that there's an opportunity with the centre-backs that if one is inexperienced and the other is really quite old, that you might have some opportunity with Ricky there or Malik, just a bit of creativity. But yeah, it's a tricky one. I think that we probably shouldn't go back to the five at the back, no matter what, really. I'd advocate for the 4-2-4 that we finished the game with today. You know, even if it means starting Otto on the left, just go for it. Gustav, bring him on rather than start him. And I think they just need to try and take the risks and not fear conceding, because it's Huddersfield away. I think the fans are going to be pretty forgiving if you don't come away with anything. Just like we were, those of us who are at Charlton, we clap those players off. There's a bit of context with the red card. But, you know, we're a pretty forgiving bunch, even in the situation we're in. Just try. Just go for it, no matter what formation it is. And play more like you did the second half than you did in the first today.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing, isn't it? Is that the five at the back, I can see it happening, but equally, it leaves us with nothing. Like, there's no replacement. Like, whilst Manny's suspended, there is no option for replacing a centre-back. The only option is Mills or Dornelli, and then you're talking about taking off Teo Adun or Carl Johnston. For me, we know that it's going to be a bigger pitch at Huddersfield. I think that this is probably going to be one of my weirdest shouts, and I think that John's probably going to murder me. I think that we need to play the two players that like to stick to the touchline in the wing positions, and I would say that that probably is Abraham Adoh on the left and then Kean Hayes on the right, and then we play Malik up front with Con Clark in the cam. I am sick to death of Ricky J. Jones. And I think that when he came on at halftime in the Cheltenham game, it looked like he had a point to prove. I think that when you're talking about, like, if you really need to stretch the game towards the end of the game, there's been no better player, has there, in Ricky J. Jones. I would like to see Sisoho over Kipriani, because I just don't think Kipriani's got the legs on a big pitch like Huddersfield have got. And ultimately, it's going to be a really tough game. Huddersfield are one of those up and down teams, aren't they? And their fans are going to get behind them. It's not going to be a massive following from Posh, I would imagine, because people are sort of switched off now, aren't they? Knowing that especially as we've got a big away game in the semi-final against Wrexham sort of 4 days after, is that where are people most likely to want to go? Well, there's the chance at Wembley. There's that Wembley carrot. I am concerned. I hope that the players go in there with absolutely no fear, knowing that, like Harry says, if we lose to Huddersfield, we lose to Huddersfield. But it's starting to get to that time now where it feels like we need a miracle. And it would be great if that miracle came at Huddersfield. And they just stunned us all, and we go up there and we bring home 3 points with us.
All right. I will come to you all for the predictions for the game. Ash, give it to me.
I can't predict us to win. I hope that, like I say, that there's a miracle, but I just don't see it. I actually don't see us scoring. I think that it's probably going to be, like John said, I think it's going to be one of those absolute horror shows, and we could lose by 5 or 6 goals potentially if Huddersfield find their form and find themselves ticking, because we will just basically bend over for them, I would imagine.
I'm less gloomy than that. I think it's going to be a tight game, and I think we score, but I do still think we lose. I'm going with 2-1 Huddersfield.
Yeah, I went to that game in the Championship where they beat us 3-0, and they just looked so much better than us in every single way. And I just remember the fans were really loud, and I think we were like right near the bottom of the league. They were going for promotion to the Premier League. I can see it being a similar story. I do think we'll score, but yeah, I'm going to go for a 3-1. I just think they're going to outclass us in every single way.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of preempted my answer, but 4-1 maybe. Dion Charles will bag a couple, won't he? He's an experienced striker against our defenders. It should be pretty light work for him, I think. There's just no way I see us winning this football match. And I can't really remember too many times I've said that with Posh, because you always feel like, oh, well, we've got a chance with our pace on the attack or whatever. But I just don't see any way we hurt them. It's just really bleak, isn't it?
Brilliant. 4-loss prediction from Up the Poshcast for the Huddersfield game. Let's hope we're as wrong as we've been all season. Thank you for listening. And please, if you're listening on YouTube, like and subscribe. It helps the channel. And we've been growing recently, which has been great. Let's keep it going. Thank you. That's it. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
We are a defeated bunch.
Yeah.
The end is near. Look at these faces. 4 losses. Like, never in my life did I think I'd have us down as 4 losses.